Welcome to Index Podcast, where we uncover exciting interior design stories from renowned figures of our industry. I'm your host, Shuchita Gupta, Senior Conference Manager for Index, the show that transforms spaces with design, product, and technology, coming to you this May. I'd love to introduce Chris Barnes, founder at Broadway Interiors, joining us for this podcast. In this podcast, Chris will talk about design authenticity and intelligent design. Welcome, Chris. How have you been?
Good morning, Shu. How are you doing?
Very well. How about you?
All good.
Well, I actually am quite intrigued with your journey altogether as a designer. You see, you haven't followed the traditional route as an interior designer. And then how did you find yourself here in Dubai?
I kind of just ambled here from a humble beginning. I was working too much in the UK, had an immense amount of holiday time, and as a result found myself coming to find a holiday where a friend was working on Chicago Beach Hotel, as it was named at the time. He opened my eyes to the opportunity that Dubai had. I was introduced to his boss, and his boss invited me to come out, and I made the brave step of coming 6 months later. So I arrived on the 10th of January, 1999.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I remember it well.
24 years almost. Actually, yeah, 24 years.
Yeah. And I remember distinctly the first thing that happened. We were going to Chicago Beach Hotel. The guy who was taking me, he got out of his car. He left his car engine running, and he left the doors open. And says, "You can't do that." He goes, "Yes, you can. This is Dubai." I remember it to this day.
Well, well, well. And then how did you start your journey in Dubai?
Well, my friend was working for a furniture fit-out company, and his boss invited me to come and work with him and help develop the organization. So for the first year and a half, I was working with them, helping support and develop their work within the region. And then as a result of that, I subsequently set up on our own.
And when did Broadway Interiors actually take into action?
To be honest, we started really, really slowly. So, I mean, around the turn of the century was when Broadway was established. But it was probably only towards the end of 2001 that we started to get a little bit of prominence. And from originally just doing execution for others, clients turned around to us and said, "Could you actually do the design?" Because in those days, the interior design was about convenience. And it was all about, you know, one-stop shop. Can you do all of this for us? And it kind of matured and grew from that. So I think we did our first design project was in 2002, and that coincided with all the semi-government authorities being established, starting with Dubai Internet City. And we kind of helped those semi-government authorities establish, and as those young Emiratis moved from Internet City to set up all the others, they took us with them, and we helped establish the entities through their offices.
That's fantastic. So you've actually seen Dubai transform from the time you've literally come in 24 years ago. And what would be really interesting for me to understand here is, how has the industry really changed since your time? 24 years, how has the industry developed within Dubai itself?
I'm not even sure we were an industry back in those days. Certainly an industry known within the community. Yes, of course, fit-out projects and designs were being executed, but the broader population, I don't think, really understood interior design. And I think it was only with the expansion of the publications and general awareness of interior design that suddenly more and more people had a discerning approach as to what was required. And I think everybody knows about interior design now.
Truly. And can you talk to me some of your early achievements, and how do you really see Dubai as a place to work in?
Well, as I say, in the beginning, we supported Dubai Internet City, Media City, Studio City, Knowledge Village, DIFC. In those former years, we were with all of them as they established, and many of their offices are still with us today. So, yeah, it's one of the lasting legacies that we're really proud of. You know, it was a great time. I mean, obviously, towards 2006-07, the city was just skyrocketing. There was so much work to be completed and executed. It was even more fast-paced than it is today. But it was done in a less regulated and structured way, so it was a bit more crazy, whereas now I think as an industry we've matured massively, we've become more sophisticated, we follow a lot more due diligence, so you know, we've normalised, we've become a, in my opinion, we've become a global player in design.
Indeed. And what would you describe as your design ethos?
Well, to be honest, I've always liked to be real with what we do. And, you know, one of the things for me that's really important is to create designs that people can connect with. That connection, you know, we call it design authenticity and intelligent design. What we mean by that is we want our customers to engage with the spaces that we create. Now, that experience can be created in a variety of different ways. You can have a physical connection because you can associate to the aesthetic you've created. You can have an experience because of what you see, or it can be a sensory perception. So for me, especially when we're talking about the F&B arena in particular, but even more these days with offices, it's really, really important that everybody feels comfortable in the environment that you're creating. And as a result, you know, we've always believed that that should be the primary focus of what we do. You can still create really wild and far-fetched ideas, but people have to relate to it in some way, shape or form.
Absolutely. And I mean, until you really feel the design, you won't be able to love the design as well.
Yeah.
And how do you really demonstrate design authenticity in your projects? What is it that is special?
Well, I think authenticity can come as a result of a variety of different things. It can come from different elements. It can come from the overall vista that you create. And it can even sometimes be generated by the location that the project you're developing in is in. So I think that authenticity changes from project to project. It's not something that's got a specific formula. I think I've got to a point where a lot of what I do is intuitive. So someone gives me a brief and then the mind is just bubbling and coming up with ideas. I'm not the greatest at always articulating it, but, you know, I can instantly think of, well, we're going to do this with this project, and, you know, a little bit further down the line, we've hopefully created it.
Any projects that you want to name drop that you're very proud of, where we could be actually able to relate this with?
Obviously, I think we're quite well known in more recent years for our F&B, but as a path, we didn't really start F&B until around 2009-10. Up until that point, we were exclusively commercial. So as I said, when we were establishing DIFC, the Courts and Conference Centre, you know, those courts are still here today. Originally, that was going to be a car park, and it got transformed into the courts that we now have. So, I mean, that's one that we're very proud of. Clearly, you know, most recently we've done the headquarters for the United Nations over in Riyadh, which again is something that I love to talk about it, but I can't share too much because of the sensitivities. But yeah, there's been a few lovely pioneers along the way that we're really proud of. I mean, in terms of our F&B portfolio, we did a little count up the other day, and I think we've done 130 F&B projects over time. Some of those are fairly well known in the industry. I mean, most people know that, you know, we've been associated with Lock, Stock and Barrel and developed that. We're particularly proud of the evolution of Blacktap, which we took both around the region and across Europe and further afield. Some of our more recent and exciting things, then always in F&B. We did a lovely project over in Dubai Silicon Oasis for DTEC. That was quite a cool project. There's a few along the way. I could amble on about different projects we've done, I guess.
So every time I go to LSB, I'm just going to think about Broadway Interiors from now on.
I don't want you to. I want you to go there and think about the experience you have.
Which is why I'm going to think of Broadway Interiors, because no. I don't think there's one person who's not really enjoying the experience and what you've really created there. Likewise for all the other projects that you've definitely worked on. And how does the work that you do actually relate to intelligent design?
Well, I think when you talk about intelligent design, I think we as interior designers have a responsibility to be a service provider. In essence, that's the core crux of what we are. We're delivering a service to an end user. So we have a responsibility not only to deliver for our client a functional space that will work for him and allow him to use that asset in a good way to generate the profits that he needs, but we also have a responsibility to achieve designs that are workable and practical and can be delivered. It's great having some amazing visuals, but you do need to understand the methodology that sits behind that to ensure that you can physically build that. You know, we quite often get asked, how can we build this? You know, someone might come to us, it's not our project, but just say, look, we're not sure how this can be developed. And, you know, that's kind of one of our core skills because we come from a construction base. We, you know, it's the foundation of how we design. We're always looking to make sure that it's practical, it's workable, it can be delivered in a sensible period of time. So for me, that's where the intelligent aspect to what we do comes into play. It has to be done in a way that all parties can move through the design process from first concept through to its successful completion as quickly as possible.
Based on what you just said, there's a question that just popped up in my mind that I definitely want to know. Which one was your most challenging project till date that you must have done in the 24 years? One thing that really made you step out and be like, we have to put our heads together, we have to make this happen, and you know, you just did it and you're so proud of everything that it looks like. I know it can be multiple, but there's always that one project that must have really challenged you.
I think over time there's been many projects that challenge you for different reasons. Every project is unique. It comes with its own challenges. You know, as you always have good projects, some that are more challenging for you. I'd actually say, and I'm not plugging this, but I mean this sincerely, we are associated with a certain DNA for what we do. And I'm doing something for Index at the moment, which is probably pushing my boundaries further than I've ever pushed before. So I'd honestly say that because there's something coming at Index that, yeah, I'm pushing myself with it.
Yeah, I know. And it always had me in tears of joy when I actually saw what that could actually be on the show. Chris, you spoke amazing about the design authenticity, but can you talk to me a bit more on how and which projects of yours can we actually see this coming to life?
I think every project we do has an element of this. Those projects, the importance of that particular trait comes across in some projects more than others. For example, we worked with Talabat, the food aggregator, and obviously, their core business is their delivery trucks and their food delivery service. So we wanted to create an office that embodied the vernacular of the street. So it was quite a quirky, fun one. They're a young, upwardly mobile group. So, you know, we put a road all the way around their office with things like the pedestrian crossings, traffic lights, and even using old Vespas as the sort of, you know, the forerunner to the modern bikes that they're using today. And, you know, that one was, it created that authenticity, not from a realism point of view, but more just we were able to get the people to engage with that office because obviously, you know, they do predominantly make their business from the, you know, the sort of external environment. So that one was quite cool. D-Tech, which we did over in Silicon Oasis, was obviously a young, upwardly mobile community that is pretty much up there, startups and the like. But we wanted to give them a very healthy working environment. So, but at the same time, because they were young millennials, we wanted it to be interesting and fun. So, you know, in that space, they've got a three-story climbing wall. They've got a two-story slide. They've got a 65-meter running track. You know, all of these elements were part of that footprint such that, you know, you don't just have to sit behind the desk all day long. You were able to sort of promote that healthy working environment that you wanted.
That's absolutely insane. They have a climbing wall in there?
Yeah, it's a three-story climbing wall. We made sure that a particular space that lends itself to creating some verticality, we dropped in a three-story wall. You can imagine the certification and training to actually make it happen was challenging, but yeah, fair play to D-Tech. They embraced it and they went with us on it, and yeah, they've got a wall in there.
I would just like to go and actually have a look at how it is working in D-Tech, because
it's a great space. I mean, I know you've been to our office, and you know, if I tell you the story behind our office, we wanted to vandalise our office, and as a result, literally, that was the vision for what we presently got today. I wanted it to be expressive. I wanted it to be something unique. I wanted people to come in and think, oh, these are creatives. And literally, we vandalised our office with graffiti from end to end. We've got all these creative expressions all over the office. And then we combine that with a heavy responsibility towards sustainability with the materials we use. So, you know, that sort of is in our DNA. So, again, that's where that design authenticity comes into what we create. Yeah, I could go through other projects. I mean, Asia is obviously one where, you know, it's a fusion of Asian cultures. Yeah. And being that fusion from near Asia to far Asia, we wanted to make sure that we, you know, we've got really authentic elements from those different regions and countries that sort of, you know, are replicated through the food. So, yeah, that's another one. I mean, yeah, there's a few out there. I mean, the Black Tap story is quite an interesting one because, again, we quite like our graffiti. So
yes, indeed.
We wanted that to be a real freedom of expression and that sort of New York subway inspiration that it was generated from. And, you know, all of that graffiti just gives that realism towards that DNA that we've created in those spaces. That's kind of underpinned with the sort of industrial lighting that you often see in a number of those really old and aged subway stations. So I think, yeah, we always try and have this experiential element that people can relate to because we want people to drill into our spaces. You know, I strongly believe that if people love the spaces, whether they're work environments or they're play environments, they're more likely to go there or enjoy the spaces for longer. And I think that's a really important part about what we do. And you know, that's why design authenticity to us is such a core element to what we do all the time.
I would actually go back to your graffiti point because I was one of the few lucky ones who actually been to your office. And I was quite happy seeing your pantry. I don't know if everyone knows this, but all the employees, and correct me if I'm wrong, they can literally go out and spray whatever's on their mind. It could be a design, yeah. It could be a statement, it could just be anything they're feeling. And the walls are actually filled up with quite a lot of art, I must say, because yeah. When you enter in there, there's so much sense of belonging. There's so much sense of uniqueness because it's not copied from somewhere. It's just thoughts and love and emotions and art just pouring out there. And that's fantastic.
Yeah, Broadway has always been a family. We're a boutique business, and as a result, you know, the tapestry that you see in our office is many years old from many people. And I think anyone who's been with us on our journey, you know, even if they go to new pastures, they're always part of the family. We have a great affection. I recently saw a QS who's gone to a fit out company, and he made a point of coming over to me when I was in their office to say hi and sit down. And you know, it's warm, and that's because of how we are as a group. We're very tight, you know. And I think that is also when you're close as a group of individuals, that also helps promote what you do and for you to excel as a group with not just the creative side, because you know any responsible business isn't just about delivering, you know, creative sides. There's got to be the commercial support, the administrative support. All of those functions are a critical part of what you do as a business. Your headline might just be that, you know, you're a creative agency, but one should never forget what those others inside the business do for you as a collective.
Absolutely. You love your people, and I think the people love you back, and the success of a designer also comes from that. And you know, it's just the aura that you create, Chris, and it clearly shows not just in your work, but in the kind of personality and persona that you have. So anything more exciting in your pipeline as well?
Yeah, we do. And I'm taking a slightly different role. Mm-hmm. Because I'm taking a slightly different role, I'm trying to support and promote the team within a little bit more.
Fantastic.
And developing a strategic role. When you get consumed in what you're doing every day of the week, you sometimes lose a little bit of focus on where the business needs to go. So I'm kind of trying to stay a little bit more detached from as much design as possible, such that I can, you know, protect the brand a little bit more. I've got some great people in the team and I want to see them have their moment. And so I'm kind of manipulating my role slightly.
So you're empowering your team.
Hell yeah.
That's fantastic. And what are your personal goals for 2023?
There's an interesting
Since
one.
Since you're moving out a little, stepping out of your zone, strategic, what do you think are the other goals you've set for yourself in this year?
I think I just want us to be known as a more broad-based practice where we can service the industry across a whole raft of different market sectors. You know, we've been quite fortunate and successful in two in particular, but I would love to get involved in hospitality, like to do the odd retail project, which we haven't done for a long time. And yeah, a few things that are a bit left field along the way. You know, we're quite fortunate. We live in a country and a region that probably gives us a great project every day of the week. I was talking to someone recently where I used the analogy that if this was in the UK, we might get one nice project every couple of years or be fortunate to get one once a year. But here we're always having something that inspires us to do something new and exciting all the time. So, you know, it's difficult to know what those goals are going to be because you don't quite know what's coming. You know, we're in a city that doesn't have defined parameters. We're in a city that's got amazing design knowledge within it. And I think, you know, the younger generation is starting to really get engaged with what we do. And, you know, I think we've got a massive talent pool here that, you know, in other places previously maybe you had to go away from the UAE to develop your, you know, your design ethos. But I don't think you need to do that now. And for that reason, it's very difficult to know where we're going to be, what those goals are going to be during the course of this year, because it moves so fast, but in such an exciting way as well.
This city is truly very exciting. And I think
unique.
The one thing for designers as well is there is no fixed way. They always push you to think out of the box, be as creative as you can be,
yeah,
and absolutely go crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's why everyone just loves Dubai. But talking about the industry in Dubai in specific, what do you think the future is? How do you see the future of interior design in Dubai?
I think we're obviously embracing technology more and more.
Yeah.
Everybody's becoming aware of the need to engage people more and more, which, you know, comes back to my thoughts on design authenticity in particular. We don't just build offices anymore. We don't just build restaurants. They're multifaceted with everything we do. So I think, you know, we're just going to get more and more sophisticated and pleasing environments to live and enjoy. I, you know, you can go out almost every day of the week and go somewhere new. And, you know, we all as an industry are pushing the boundaries together. You know, you see one of your peers do a great job and you think, that's really good. I really like what they've done. And, you know, that helps promote you and push you to do more. And, you know, I can't honestly say where we're going. I can see that technology is going to be a really important part of that. But, you know, engaging everybody in those spaces is going to be an equally important part of that. Now, whether that's interlaced with technology or not, it doesn't have to be, you know?
Absolutely. And in the end, it's all about the experience you create.
Hell yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. I've always loved this industry. I always loved the work that you all put together. And thank you for your time and for taking us through this wonderful journey that you've had. And in my words, just began, actually. You truly have a long way to go to kill it absolutely within this city, within the region, and hopefully global as well. Any suggestions, anything you would like to leave the audiences with a small thought?
Be positive and believe in your own creativity.
Fantastic. And I would like to end it there. Thank you so much, Chris, and thank you so much, everyone, for joining us.